Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and as has been my disclaimer of late, we are not live, but we're close to it. Today is the second day of September 2020, and even with everything that's been going on in the world, it seems like this year is just flying by, doesn't it? Imagine how quickly it would have passed if things were on the up and up, as the kids like to say. But welcome to the program. It is always a pleasure and an honor to come and spend these 57-odd minutes with you. We got a lot of things to delve into. I'm trying to paint a picture here. I think that as I thought about what we were going to discuss today, and we are going to get back into 1 Samuel 17 because I am a man of my word, and I think it blends well with the message of the hour. And the message of the hour is if you do nothing, if you say nothing, then you have no right to complain about everything that's happening, about everything that's going on. If you don't try to change course as an individual, if you don't put in the time and the effort and the sweat equity to try to make things better, then when it comes to a head, when you begin to see that basically California just legalized pedophilia, when you begin to see that criminality is being sheltered and protected by elected officials. And throughout all this time, the only thing that we were able to muster was mocking people who said, hey, maybe this is worth fighting for. Maybe this is worth standing up for. Maybe this is worth putting in a little time and effort to make sure that debased, perverted people don't get the reins of power and then legalize pedophilia. So if you've been one of those people standing on the sidelines, then look upon what is occurring with horror, but that's really all you can do. Can't really complain about it, because when you could have done something, when you could have said something, you chose to mock those that were insisting we should. I'm sorry, I'm not a fatalist. I'm not one of those people that is going to sit by, well, you know, it was foretold it was going to happen, might as well happen. Can't do that. Because we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. We're supposed to stand for what is true and stand for what is right and stand for what is noble. There's the church is by and large watching the slow motion destruction of their nation and saying and doing absolutely nothing. You know, John MacArthur finally decided that it was time to have church, and the state of California is cracking down. You know, six ways from Sunday. They took away their ability to park in the city's parking lot. They're fining them. And all this, with the CDC releasing statistics, I know, science, because that's the thing, isn't it? They've been going on and on about science. You have to trust the science. How dare you go out of your house? How dare you insist that you should have a job and be able to put food on your family's table when science is telling us that we're all going to die? Well, apparently, what, 6% of total deaths that were quote-unquote attributed to COVID, only 6% of those deaths were exclusively due to COVID. 94% of the people that perished with the disease, but not from the disease. Very important point. Because remember back way back in the way back time machine, In March of this year, they were telling us what mortality was 10% across the board. Well, ladies and gentlemen, kids and kiddies, 94% of the people had comorbidities, and 60-odd percent of those had more than 2.5 comorbidities. So basically, the people, at least 60% of them, that died with COVID didn't die from COVID. Not only that, but their comorbidities were, you know, obesity, diabetes, cancer, leukemia, whatever it was. They had 2.5 comorbidities to stack upon the fact that they had coronavirus as well. 94% of the people that died in these United States with the coronavirus disease had comorbidities that exacerbated the situation. 6% apparently died from it. Now, that's about 9,000 people all told this year. Who can guess how many people die of the flu every year? The number is about 80,000. So 80,000 people die of the flu every year. 9,000 people died exclusively of the coronavirus. And yet we're told that we're supposed to put on muzzles and sit in our basements and do absolutely nothing in perpetuity. There's no end game here. Just shut up and take it. And people are beginning to wake up to the reality that something is very, very fishy in Denmark. They're realizing that this was used as a pretext to enslave them. This was used as a pretext to control them. And we're seeing what people who snatched up all this power are willing to do when the power that they amassed is threatened, when the power that they amassed is taken away. This isn't happening in America yet because Americans still have the Second Amendment. I know, oh, he's talking about that again. Yes, I am. Why? Because there's no other place to go. And if I can avoid living in a third world country where just because of the melanin content in my skin, I get bricked from behind by a person who can't even pull up their pants, or I get shot in my car, then yes, I'll say something about it. I'll do something about it. Brother, focus on heaven. I am. I'm working out my salvation daily, but guess what? You can also do other things. We're not monks living up in caves, eating mint sprigs and meditating. We're in this world, but not of it. But this world affects our way of life. This world affects our quality of life. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I like seeing my kids smile. Call me selfish. I know the white privilege in me insists that my kids be safe and happy. Oh, well. So this just happened in Australia. An Australian mother was arrested for allegedly inciting coronavirus lockdown protests. Now, this woman was also pregnant. She was arrested in front of her kids and husband. This is what tyranny looks like. And I keep hearing, well, that'll never happen here. It's happening in Australia. The only difference, politically speaking, between us and Australia is the fact that we do have the Second Amendment, and we're not goofy enough, like the Australians were, to give up their guns. Police in Australia arrested a pregnant 20-year-old woman in front of her husband and two children Wednesday for allegedly planning a coronavirus lockdown protest and promoting it on Facebook. If you disagree with the narrative, in Australia at least, you are now a criminal. Never mind the looters and those burning down businesses and those bricking people from behind or shooting them in the face or stabbing them in the gut. No, no, no. Those are peaceful protesters. They are protesting the inequity. It's the pursuit of happiness that's guaranteed. Happiness was never a guarantee. The pursuit of it was. I'm sorry, if you can't make ends meet in America, then it's because you're lazy. That's just the facts, kids. Because if you got a little hustle in you, you could make a living off of things that people throw away. Believe it. But let's get back into this because it's disturbing. It's beyond disturbing. Police in the state of Victoria took the woman, Zoe Bueller, into custody at her home after she created a Freedom Day event on Facebook calling for people to peacefully gather against the government's lockdown measure. Again, the word here, which should be circled and underlined, is peacefully. The woman was not calling for violence. She was not calling for riots. She wasn't calling for anyone to do something unlawful. And she actually said, keep social distancing and wear your masks. But, you know, she was trying to put together a peaceful gathering against the government's lockdown measures. Nay, nay, said the officials of Victoria, we cannot have any dissent. We have accumulated power into ourselves, and we like how it tastes. Taste and see that power feels good. As some of you may have seen, the government has gone to extreme measures and are using scare tactics through the media to prevent the Melbourne protest, the now-deleted event description read. Here in Ballarat, which is the name of a city, Australians have goofy names. Hey, they invented Vegemite. They eat Vegemite. So, you know, Australians. Here in Ballarat, we can be a voice for those in stage 4 lockdowns. We can be seen and heard and hopefully make a difference. Nay, nay, said the officials of Victoria, Australia. How dare you, you peon? How dare you, a number on a spreadsheet? How dare you, a mother of two who happens to be pregnant, a taxpaying citizen of Australia, decide that you want to be heard and seen? And the absurdity of it all, decide that you want to make a difference. Well, that's just patently ludicrous. Video of the arrest shared on social media shows officers handcuffing Bueller in front of her husband and children. In the video, Bueller becomes increasingly distressed as she tells officers she is pregnant. And they cared not a whit. I have no idea why you guys are doing this, she tells officers. My two kids are here. I have an ultrasound in an hour. I'm happy to delete the post. The woman realized she already cracked. Even before the handcuffs were snapped on her, she'd already cracked. I'm happy to delete the post. Nay, nay. You gave people ideas. How dare you give anyone ideas that they should be heard and they should be seen and they should make a difference? You, madam, pregnant as you are, tending to your two children in your home, are a public danger. And you should be arrested for it. Even if she agreed to take down the post. I don't really understand what I've done wrong. This is ludicrous. I didn't realize I was doing anything wrong. And herein lies the crux of it all. She did nothing wrong. But it doesn't matter anymore, does it? We are seeing mob rule take root in this country. We are seeing people attempting to voice an opinion contrary to the narrative being arrested in places like Australia. The woman tells police she has an ultrasound appointment in an hour's time. She offered to delete the post and questions the need to arrest her in front of her two children. This woman didn't rob a bank. This woman didn't set a business on fire. This woman didn't throw a brick through somebody's window. This woman didn't shoot anybody in the face. This woman made a Facebook post. But Victoria Police confirmed the woman was taken into custody and charged with incitement. A mobile device was also seized, police say. So, hypothetical. Let's go down this rabbit trail for a few minutes before we get back into 1 Samuel 17. Hypothetical situation. Because you know it's bound to happen. At some point, if the insane asylum is given the keys and told that they could run it, at some point this will become a reality. Imagine that, oh, I don't know, saying homosexuality is a sin is deemed as incitement. Let's go even a step further. Let's say that saying pedophilia is a sin is deemed an incitement to violence. How quick, how soon before they come, handcuffs in tow, to take you away for just, you know, preaching the gospel? I know. That's never going to happen, you fearmonger, you. Just shut up and vote for Crazy Joe. They legalized pedophilia in California. 3-4 years ago, if you go back into the archives of this program, I guarantee you'll find it. I told you repeatedly, they will attempt to normalize pedophilia. They will attempt to normalize pedophilia. And I got responses. They're never going to go that far. Here we are. While everybody's freaking out about going outside, these people are passing laws legalizing pedophilia. And you don't think it's going to get worse? I guarantee it. I guarantee it's going to get worse. Because there's no pushback. Because the church is silent. Because the church is sleepy. Because the church has its knives out against each other. Because the fearful and the lazy and the indifferent are too busy judging those that say, hey, this is wrong. Trying to silence them, trying to put them down, trying to discourage them. What can we do? Do something! They legalized pedophilia in California. How soon before it becomes a federal law? Because, you know, love is love. Remember that doofus from Mars Hill in Michigan? Love wins. I'm not going to judge love. Love is love. Well, there you go. It's love, isn't it? Makes your stomach churn. Makes you upchuck a little, but hey, what's the difference between this love and that love? They're both perversions. They're both sin. So why would you be so heartless as to delineate between homosexuality and say, well, that's love, and pedophilia saying, well, no, that's not love. Two consenting parties, what? It's none of your business. You have a pastor of a megachurch in Georgia running for state senate saying that he will fight to keep abortion legal. This is a pastor. Granted, it's of a Baptist church, but he's still a pastor. The Ebenezer Baptist Church in Georgia. Look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. We're going hard, man. All gas, no brake. And the church is sitting there going, oh, well, you know, we need to find that hill we're willing to die on. We're not there yet, brother. Oh, we're going to fight. We're going to stand. We're going to punch the devil right in his nose when the time comes. What more? Please tell me. I need to know. If I'm going to sleep at night, I need to know. What more? When will it be that moment, that shining moment, when the church stands up and says, this is evil? We're in pedophilia stage. So we've gone past homosexuality, we've gone past transgenderism, we've gone past, you know, chemically neutering children at 8 and making certain that they're living a lifestyle that has a 60% suicide rate. That wasn't worth fighting for. What is? I need to know. All of you blowhards, all of you condescending people, all of you keyboard warriors, I need to know. If this isn't a hill you're willing to die on, pray tell what is. If this isn't a reason to stand and make your voice heard, what is? Because I guarantee you, these people in Australia, they have the same mindset as most Christians in America. That's never going to happen here. Come on. The police wouldn't enforce that. A pregnant mother of two was arrested in front of her children for committing the unpardonable crime of making a Facebook post that contradicted the narrative. The apprehension comes just days after a group of anti-lockdown protesters clashed with police in the state capital, Melbourne, at a separate event, and almost 200 more Victorians were fined for breaching restrictions. Speak to me of your freedom. Please do. You breach restrictions, you get fined. You breach restrictions, you get arrested. You put out a Facebook post, and they come handcuffs in tow. But I guarantee you, Australia still looks its face, its nose down on China. At least we're not as authoritarian. Yes, you are. If you were given the power that the Chinese Communist government has, you would do exactly as the Chinese Communist government does. I guarantee it. This is why tyrants should never be given power. This is why tyrants should never be allowed anywhere near the seat of government. And that big orange bully that you keep going on about, guess what? He had every opportunity to become the tyrant you think he is, and he hasn't. That should tell you something. But it doesn't, because your hate blinds you. Because your indifference is a blanket that keeps you sleeping. Because you'd rather just browbeat other people who say, hey, this is getting out of hand. Because you know that the people you're browbeating aren't going to come to your house with a Molotov cocktail. because you know the people that are browbeating are never going to throw a brick to your window or bash your head in. You coward. You absolute coward. Victoria is governed by a hard-left Australian Labor Party leader named Daniel Andrews. Well, Daniel Andrews, you are now an honorary member of the Chinese Communist Party, sir. Welcome. Who has seen the state top the national list of infections and deaths during the coronavirus pandemic. Again, can we please? If we're going to follow the science, then let's follow the science. CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. I'm not talking about the World Health Organization and those commie-loving people. I'm not talking about the globalist World Health Organization that is pushing a narrative and has been from the beginning. This is the Centers for Disease Control here in these United States. And they're saying only 6% of the deaths can be exclusively attributed to the coronavirus. But it is a pandemic, and we have to keep you in your house or jail you or fine you if you dare follow the science. Now, in case you thought this was a one-off, this is not the first time police under this communist direction have acted so quickly and with such force against those suspected of violating state requirements during the pandemic. Look, I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to fall on deaf ears because, you know, these are the times we're living in. People call good evil, evil good. Here we are. The Bible already foretold all of these things. It's not as though this should be a surprise for us. But when the dust settles and we look back on what we allowed elected officials to do to us as individuals in the name of public safety, it will terrify us. Because right now, this is the fog of war, kids. Every time you try to breathe a little, every time you see a little, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, you have Don the homosexual lemon going, we're still dying. This is getting worse. Now kids are getting infected. No deaths. Worst case, kids get a little cough. Ka-choo, ka-choo. But that doesn't matter. The narrative still needs to stand. Everyone going to die if you don't do what we tell you to do. Now, there's a caveat to this. You must do what we tell you to do, but don't you dare expect us to live by the same standards. I don't know if you saw this, but it was hypocrisy and hilarity on its face. It was disgusting. Not because of the nature of what occurred, but because of the hypocrisy that undergirds it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, yay, visited a San Francisco hair salon for a wash and a blowout despite local coronavirus restrictions, a move that the salon owner called a slap in the face. So if you're not living in California, then perhaps you don't realize that hair salons are not allowed to have customers as of yet. What is it? 6 months later, I've lost count. They are not allowed to open their doors to paying customers. But the woman, the witch, the wretch, the wrinkle in a pantsuit that has been insisting for the last, 4 months, that if you want to take your kids to the park, you're slapping science in the face. If you want to go back to work, you're just selfish and want to kill grandma. This same paragon of virtue that browbeat you into sitting in your basement in your own filth, waiting to die, basically. What else can you do in your basement? You can only clean it so many times. Went to a hair salon, sans mask, for a wash and a blowout. No other customers were allowed. And apparently, the woman that insists you are slapping science in the face decided that a mask was unnecessary for her. Now, Nancy Pelosi is, what, 108, 127 or something? So, you know, she's got at least one of those comorbidities, which is old age. But this is how seriously your elected officials are taking the coronavirus, while insisting that you muzzle your kids if you want to go get some ice cream, while insisting that you sit at home, jobless, waiting to get evicted. And it's not just Nancy that's the hypocrite. Governor Cuomo in New York, people snapping pics of him walking his dog without a mask. Some buffoon up in Maryland who's still not allowing indoor dining in restaurants. Somebody snapped a picture of him. Guess what? Dining inside a restaurant. These are your elected officials. They are the very definition of hypocrisy. Because they call you selfish if you want to go back to work. They call you selfish if you know you'd like a wash and a blowout just to feel human again. I have no hair, so I don't know what the wash and the blowout entails, but apparently it's a wash and a blowout. You, whatever. You get the point. Rules for thee, but not for me. And the salon owner understood the depths of this hypocrisy because she said it felt like a slap in the face. News sites obtained footage showing the maskless speaker walking through San Francisco's e-salon on Monday, August the 31st. Salons throughout the city have been shut down for months, but were permitted to offer outdoor services beginning Tuesday, September 1st. Outdoor services. Come sit in our parking lot and we will hose you down, I guess. I don't know. The salon owner, Erica Kewis, told Fox News that she learned of the speaker's visit after one of the stylists who rents a chair from the salon informed her of the speaker's appointment the day prior. Kewis describes Pelosi's action as a slap in the face. According to Fox News, she said, "I was like, are you kidding me right now? Do I let this happen? What do I do?" How could you not? She'd have you arrested. She'd make something up. Because some elected officials, even in these United States of America, see themselves as monarchs rather than servants of the people. They are the elite, the kings and queens, who look down upon the lowly peons and say, pay more taxes. But from where? We have no jobs. You forced us to shut down our businesses. It matters not. Pay more taxes, peon. Have you heard what's happening in Minneapolis? In order for the businesses that have been burnt down to be able to get a permit to clean up the rubble, they need to pay their property taxes in advance for the whole year. Let that sink in. The next time you decide, I'm just going to sit this one out, you know, I got better things to do than go and vote. Do ya? Pedophilia legalized in California. Absolute buffoons, morons, and mentally deficient individuals are now holding seats of power throughout these United States. And every time they open their mouths, average citizens cringe. Every time they decide to pass a new law, you know, for equity and whatnot, people scratch their heads and they ask, where's all this money coming from? And of course, your duly elected officials are quick to answer, why, from you, silly. From you. But that's okay. Rest easy. Do nothing about anything that you can do something about. Because it might require a bit of exertion on your part. And we couldn't have that, could we? It was a slap in the face. She went in, you know, that she feels like she can just go and get her stuff done while no one else can go in, and I can't work. Kias told Fox News, adding that she can't believe the speaker didn't have a mask on. Believe it? Oh, yes, believe it. Pelosi reportedly got a wash and a blowout, the latter of which Kias noted is a no-go, according to the coronavirus safety guidelines for hair salons, a directive from the city's Department of Health states that salons and barbershops should consider temporarily eliminating services that require lengthy blow drying, one of the primary services Pelosi reportedly enjoyed. Well, I have a question for the city's Department of Health. How do you feel about human feces on the sidewalk? Should there perhaps be an elimination of human feces where kids walk, and drug paraphernalia, and needles, and junkies, and garbage, and rats? Should we perhaps eliminate those things before, you know, temporarily eliminating services that require lengthy blow drying? So this is hypocrisy on its face. This is what they do. Imagine if you gave them complete power. Because I'm not even talking about Joe Biden. Joe Biden, God bless him, him and his jello pudding, he doesn't know where he is half the time. But I guarantee you the people pulling his strings, the people that want him sitting in the chair, but doing their bidding, they are tyrants. They are tyrants that, if you knew their heart's desire, and if you knew the lengths they were willing to go to in order to get their way, you'd sleep as little as I do. All right, let's get into a couple verses in 1 Samuel, because I promised, even though there's more to talk about, even though there's more to discuss, but if the church doesn't wake up to the reality of what's happening in this country, if the church doesn't do something, if the church doesn't make its voice heard, if the church continues to sit idly by while perverts and pederasts make laws protecting their pederasty and their perversion, pretty soon they'll come knocking on your door. I know. Oh, fear-monger. Nope. Truth. Not fear-mongering. Truth. because these people are shameless. In their quest for power, nothing is off limits. This should concern you. Because principled people have principles. Principled people are bound by the Constitution. Power-mad fools are only beholden to their quest for power. It's astounding that we've let it get this far. And the blame needs to be placed squarely on the shoulders of what has come to be deemed the silent majority. And I'm not talking about the silent majority as far as politics is concerned. I'm talking about the silent majority of virtuous, moral people. Of people who just want to raise their kids, go to church, go to their work, pay their taxes, wave hi to their neighbor, volunteer at a soup kitchen, donate to the food pantry. You know, normal folk. I have to believe that there is a majority of normal folk in this country. I have to. Because if I believed otherwise, I don't know what I'd do. All right. Let's get into this just a little bit, even though we're running out of time and it's just going to be a few minutes. Well, we left off where David's brother, his oldest brother, got his feelings hurt because David dared to do what he would not. It's an important point. Verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." See, Eliab's pride had been wounded. And like any small person whose pride is wounded, Eliab lashed out. Whether what he said was true or not didn't matter to Eliab at that moment in time. His pride was hurt. He needed to lash out. And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And I keep coming back to this verse, man, and every time I read it, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Is there not a cause? Once again, we come back to this. We come back to this question that should be gnawing at you, that should be making you feel uncomfortable like nails on a chalkboard. Is there not a cause? They've legalized pedophilia in California. Is there not a cause? How much more will the church take? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing. and these people answered him as the first ones did. Just because you're a coward, don't get mad at the handful who aren't. Just because you're a coward, don't get angry at those who aren't. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." "I know I'm surrounded by scaredy cats," David said, "but that's okay. I'll go do this thing." Oh, that we would have the mindset of David. See, I'm not judging anyone for being fearful. What I am judging is the cowards that are lashing out at those who aren't being fearful. And there's a distinction here. Because I've had conversations with many friends who say, "Man, I've got kids to feed. I've got a job. I know that if I say something, if I do something, that's it. I'm getting fired. This is the way it is now. You're not allowed an opinion contrary to the narrative." And I understand where they're coming from. I also have children. If I were in their position, perhaps I wouldn't be as vocal. So I don't judge those people, but what I do judge are the cowards who are just afraid to do anything and say anything and then turn around and browbeat anyone who is. Come on now, brother. We have to find common ground. I'm sorry. Find common ground with pedophilia? How does that go? Let me know. Drop me a message. You're good at it. Keyboard warriors all the way. We each have to make hard choices in life. Because even if you stand, even if you're vocal, even if you fight, victory's not a guarantee, but nothing in life is. The problem is that somewhere along the way, the choice will be taken from you. You will no longer have the choice to stand. You will no longer have the choice to speak up. And I know that many people will live with the regret that when they could have done something and when they could have said something, they chose silence. And now that they can't say anything or do anything, they wish they had. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." But they were. From Saul on down to David's brothers, to every soldier, they looked upon the Philistine, they heard his words, and they were fearful. And David said, "Don't worry about it. Don't let your heart fail you because of this. I will go and fight with this Philistine." David was a kid. Chances are better than good that every single soldier in Saul's army had a more muscular build than David, were better skilled at warfare than David. They were men. He was a boy. And yet this boy said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Sometimes, when we contemplate the idea of fighting giants, we look in the mirror and acknowledge our own shortcomings. Sometimes, when contemplating fighting giants, we take stock of our abilities and realize they're woefully deficient. And we become fearful because we realize that we cannot beat Goliath on our own. In your own strength, you don't stand a chance against the giant. In your own strength, you don't stand a chance against Goliath. But David knew that he wasn't standing in his own strength. David knew that he was on the side of right. David knew that he was on the side of God. And he knew that wherever he may have been deficient, whether in warcraft or his ability to wield a sword, God would make a way. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine, to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And this is the message that many so-called spiritual leaders, this is the message that many so-called evangelists and pastors and preachers are whispering into the ears of the sheep. You are not able to go against this giant or to fight with it because you're just too weak. You're just too inexperienced. And that's the troubling thing about what's going on. Mega church pastors saying that they're going to fight for abortion rights. Did he look upon the giant and surmise that he was too weak to take it on, so might as well make a pact with the devil? I don't know. But as we close out this program today, I want to give you a piece of heartfelt advice. Anytime anyone tells you, a child of God, that you are not able to stand against the giant, that you are too weak, too frail, too young, too old, that the enemy has been at this for so long that he's a master at his craft, so you don't stand a chance. Anytime anyone dares to say this to you, rebuke them in the name of Jesus. because they are not your friend. They're not your brother. They're not your sister. They are the allies of darkness who hope to keep you silent until you have no choice but to stay silent. And this was my message for today. I know we didn't get through a lot of 1 Samuel 17, but hey, there's always next week. Until then, my prayer is that you have the mindset of David. Don't judge those that are fearful, unless they judge you for being fearless. Stand in truth. And do so knowing that God is on your side. Stand in truth even when voices whisper that you're not up for the fight, that you're not up for the challenge. Crony, you're too weak, you're too fat, you're too slow. Blood of Jesus, I'm just the vessel. Interesting times. And where we go from here will be wholly dependent on whether the household of faith actually wakes up and realizes the danger that it's in. Until next time, may God bless you, may God keep you, and Gino, if you've got anything to
say. Today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.